God's sovereignty is a subject that is so often misunderstood and underappreciated. It's something that you and I take for granted. We don't fully comprehend it. I will tell you that I've been a Christian for a lot of years. I've done a lot of study, but God's sovereignty is something I still don't fully understand. People who tell you that they got it all figured out, I question that. But what I want to talk to you about this morning regarding God's sovereignty is that which we can understand, that which we can apply to our lives. So if you look at Psalm chapter 33, let's look at verse 1. The psalmist starts out first with a praise to God. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with a harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy." The first thing the psalmist tells us is to rejoice. Rejoicing is not merely uttering some words or something that gets us excited. Rejoicing is literally taking joy in the fact of who God is and what God has done and what God continues to do. Rejoicing is joining with God and celebrating everything that He is and everything that He's done. Rejoicing is praising God from one's heart, not merely from one's mouth. Amen. And I love what the psalmist says. He says, "Make to him a melody," which literally translated means sing to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Now the Bible teaches us in the book of Revelation that someday there is going to be a new song that the redeemed of God sing before the very throne. A song that the angels cannot sing. A song that only you and I will experience God's salvation and grace and mercy. A song that we can only understand. Amen. And in the book of Psalms, many times the psalmist writes, "Sing unto God a new song." And I'm looking forward to the day that I stand before God and I fall at His feet and I sing the song of salvation. But until that day comes, I can still sing a new song to God. I can still sing of everything that He's done. I can still sing of everything that He continues to do in my life. Every day His mercies are new. Every day His mercy is fresh. Every day God has something special for you and I. Amen. And we have a new song, a fresh praise to give Him every single day if we'll focus on Him. We're to rejoice. We're to sing to Him a new song. Amen. And then the psalmist, he tells us why in verse 11. I'm sorry, not verse 11, and verse 4. He says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is done in truth." He says, He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of your rejoicing. He's worthy of that new song. Amen. Because He's sovereign. Because He created the earth. Because of all His power and all of His might, He did it all. Amen. He's worthy of our praise and our worship because of creation and the power He manifested in creation. Amen. Psalms 148 verse 5 says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created." We should praise God simply because of His power. Amen. His sovereign power. And through which, with but a word, He spoke the heavens into existence. He's worthy of our praise because of His sovereign power. He's worthy of our praise according to verse 5 because God has sovereignty all over history. Amen. It says He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. God directs the past. God guides creation. And as a result of his sovereign will being executed upon the earth, he is deserving of all praise. He deserves to be rejoiced in. He deserves to be honored. He deserves to be glorified because of his power and because of his will being accomplished upon earth. In Psalms 135, verse 6, they write, "Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. And in heaven and in earth and in the seas and all the deep places, if God wants it done, God does it." If God says something, it happens. You're talking about the all-powerful, almighty being who simply spoke and there was something out of nothing. Amen. The Bible tells us that our God is in heaven and he does whatever he pleases. Amen. We should never ever, man should never ever think that you can outwit God. Amen. Man should never believe that somehow his free will violates the will of God, because that is not true. Because when God purposes something to be accomplished, it will be accomplished.
Yes.
And he don't need me, and he don't need you to do it. God is sovereignly powerful. He has a sovereign will that he exerts upon the earth. Now look with me down to verse 6. This is how God displays his sovereignty upon the earth. Psalms 33 verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in the storehouses." The psalmist goes into greater detail as to why God's sovereign power is displayed. He says it's displayed in all of creation, because with the very word of God, a simple spoken utterance, of the heavens were made. Hebrews 11 verse 3 tells us that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We're going to talk more about that in a moment. God's power is demonstrated, and as a result of his power being demonstrated through all creation, I'm not sure that I'm articulating what's in my mind and it's coming out quite right. But God is so powerful. God is so mighty that everything that you and I see and understand and comprehend, God transcends that. So much so that he had it all planned out before he spoke and the earth was formed. He already knew your name and your name and your name. He already had it purposed that you would be born. He already had it purposed that in 2014 you would live where you live. He already knew in advance. He had it all planned out. And as a result, this is what the psalmist tells us in verse 8. He says, because of that, you and I should fear him. He says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." God says we should fear him simply because he took nothing and he made something. When I look at this world and the universe and the planets and the stars and that which we cannot even see, the being who created that should inspire all. That's why it says in Romans, who is the clay, the vessel, to talk back to the potter. It says that in Romans. He said, you have no right to argue with God as the vessel. He's the potter. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to mess with the potter. Because if the potter decides I'm broken and not worth fixing, he casts me aside. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that's what God does. I'm just trying to put it in perspective. That God is in control, and as a result, I need to fear Him.
Right.
I'm not talking about a fear in terms of God sitting up and zapping me, but I am talking about a fear that God is God, and I'm His creation, and I need to submit myself before Him. Why? Because He's the Creator, and I'm nothing more than the creation. And it is amazing. It should humble me. It should scare me. It should leave me in awe that the God who made everything wants to have a relationship with me.
Amen.
Because He sure doesn't have to. He didn't have to call you. He didn't have to choose you. He didn't have to send His Son. He didn't have to let Adam and Eve keep doing what they were doing. He could have made them puppets and not given them choice. He could have never made us to begin with. Yet He did. And out of His mercy and His grace, He extends the relationship with Him to us.
Yes.
But we take it for granted. And the psalmist says, I should live in awe of Him because of who He is. When I look at the sun, I should be awed by the power of God. When I look at the stars at night, I should be amazed at the power of God. When I look at myself in the mirror, as fat as it is, I should say, God, You did something right. You made my heart and my brain and my blood vessels. You got it all working together. And without You, I would still be dust. I don't think, as the body of Christ, and definitely in the world, we simply do not respect or fear God the way that He deserves. That is why it's so easy for us to shake our fists in His face. That is why it's so easy for us to yell and scream and holler at Him. Moses did it. Moses got mad a time or two. Right? Job, after he had enough, he finally cried out to God and said, what am I doing? And God said, look, Job, I know you've been through a lot, but where were you when I hung the sun? Where were you when I told the water to only go so far? Where were you when I created the beasts on the earth and the wildlife and the fish in the sea and the birds of the air? Correct me if I'm wrong, but You weren't there. So therefore, I am God, I am in heaven, and I do whatever I please. Sometimes we focus so much upon the mercy and the grace of God, we forget about His sovereignty. I'm all about grace and mercy because everyone knows, and I know, and God knows that without Him every single day extending grace and mercy to me, I would not get up in the morning.
Amen.
But I cannot forget about His power and His sovereignty because of His grace and His mercy. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, and if you look down to verse 10, it says, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. This is what it's saying. It's saying, God in His sovereignty overrules the plans of man. He overrules the wisdom of man. He overrules whatever plan that I think up that is contrary to what His will is. Psalms chapter 2, 1 through 4, I love this. He says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointing, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Look at this, verse 4. He, capital He, who sets in the heavens shall laugh. Just let that sink in for a second. It says, the Lord shall hold them in derision. God laughs at the plans of man. God laughs when they think they're so smart. God laughs when they think they can plot against Him. God laughs. Why? Because when God purposes something, nothing I nor the enemy can do can stop it. And God laughs at our futility. He says, I'm the creator, you're the creation. Are you kidding me? You're going to stand against God? No way. And so God laughs at them because He overrules our plans, the plans of men. And next tells us in verse 13 that God oversees the path of man. Verse 13 through 15 says, the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of His dwelling, He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. God in His sovereign providence, God in His sovereign will, He's always watching man. He's testing their hearts. He's paying attention to their choices. Psalms 11:4 says, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the son of men. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Psalms 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Unless God purposes it, unless God approves the path which He's watching, what we do is in vain. No matter what my plans are, no matter what I have, big ideas I have, if God is not in it and God does not approve my path, it'll come to naught. It'll mean nothing. There'll be no eternal value. And next it tells us in verses 16 and 17 that the might of men is futile. It says, no king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and that he knows me, that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight. No matter how much wealth the enemies of God have, no matter how much power they seem to have, no matter how smart they seem to be, God says that cannot protect you. Amen. That cannot help you. Because the ways of man, the material blessings of man, the intelligence of man mean nothing in front of God. We're studying the book of Isaiah on Wednesday nights, and our very first lesson was when the people of Israel, King Hezekiah, had decided that he would hire Egypt to protect him from the Assyrians. And God, through Isaiah the prophet, says, basically, look, what good are horses? What good are swords? What good are arrows when you've got God? I don't need horses. I don't need swords. I don't need money. I don't need influence. I don't need power when I've got God Almighty on my side.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But perhaps the best part of this chapter as found in the verses 20 through 21. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. So the psalmist outlines, he opens up with praising God and worshiping in God and focusing on God's sovereignty. And then he goes through and he talks about how God sovereignly worked through creation, how God sovereignly works on the earth and through man, and how He's in control, and the plans of man will come for naught, and the counsel of man means nothing, and how God rules everything with His word and His will. And then he ends with the most, uplifting to you and I as believers. See, if you're not a believer, you need to be afraid of all that other stuff. If you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, you need to be worried that God overrides the plans of men. You need to be worried that God controls the past. You need to be worried that God is all powerful. But we learn here at the end that I don't have to be worried if I'm a child of God, if I'm a servant of God, because it says God is our help and our shield. Why can I trust in God to be my help? Why can I trust in God to be my shield? Why can I trust in God to be the tower in which I seek refuge? Why can I trust in God to hide me in the shadow of the Almighty? Why? Because God is sovereign. Because of His sovereign power. Because of His will. That's why I can trust in God. I can trust in God to have everything under control because God does overrule the plans of man. I can trust in God because God does make man run through His will. No man can stand against me when God is on my side as a child of God, as someone who loves God, who serves God. I don't have to be afraid that God overrules the plans of man, but I can rejoice, I can give praise, I can give glory, because nothing comes against me that God does not allow and that God cannot deliver me from. I don't get upset about God's sovereignty when I'm serving Him, because I know that my God loves me, that my God cares for me. I know that my God sent His only Son to die for me. I know that my God promised me eternal life. I know my God sent, and Him is my hope. I don't have to be afraid of man and man's plans against me, because my God stands before me. Yes. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." He said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, that God will rise a standard against him.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
God overrules man's plans to harm you.
Amen.
With His will.
Amen.
If I hold on and I believe in Him with all that I have and all that is in me, man will never succeed in changing God's plan for your life.
Amen.
It's like He did for old Elisha. When all the armies came to take him in, because Elisha had kind of messed up the plan of the enemy, and God had revealed to him where the enemy was going to be in all their ambushes, and so much so that the king thought that he had a spy in his camp. And his people said, it's the man of God, Elisha. Somehow he knows all your tricks. Somehow he knows your plans before you even speak them.
Amen.
So the king didn't like that. So he went to take Elisha captive. And when he showed up, he surrounded him. Elisha's servant came in and said, "Oh my goodness, they're here. I don't know what we're going to do. We're surrounded. It's just two of us." And old Elisha came out and he said, "Open his eyes, God, for with us there are more little of them. But when the man's eyes was opened by God, Elisha was surrounded by God's army,
yes,
by God's chariots,
right,
by God's soldiers. He wasn't afraid, because no matter what that king had purposed to do to him, God had a plan for Elisha's life. And that king, no matter what he wanted, could not change God's purpose for him. Do you know what happened? God blinded the enemy, and Elisha led them right into the city of the king of Israel. They followed him blindly right into the enemy's hands. God don't mess around. He does not care about man's plans or purposes or will, because he overrules it to accomplish his purposes. God oversees the path of men. If I'm a believer, if I love God, if I serve God, that should give me comfort.
Yes.
Because the Bible teaches me that the steps of a good man,
yes,
are ordered by God.
Yes.
1 Samuel tells us that God and God alone will guard the feet of his saints.
Amen.
It is the wicked who shall fall silent and darkness.
Yes.
If I love God and I serve God and I keep my eyes upon him, he directs my path every step. Everywhere I go, he will guide me and protect me and keep me from falling, keep me from being shaken, keeping me from losing.
Yes.
If I serve him, I have no reason to be afraid of God's sovereignty, because I know in his sovereign will, he directs my path. So no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm facing, if I just keep following after God, I know that God will lead me right out of the mess that I walked into. No matter what man is planning, no matter what's going on, if I will keep my eyes and my trust and my faith in him, he will direct my path. No matter what's happening, no matter what you're facing, God will direct your path. And I don't have to be afraid or worried about God's sovereignty with the fear of man, because men's might is futile. Because my Bible tells me that greater is he,
yes,
that is in me than he that is in the world. My Bible tells me that it's not by might nor by power, but it is by God's Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. My Bible tells me that my God goes before me.
Yes.
My Bible tells me that he's my rear guard.
Yes.
My Bible tells me if God stands before you, who can stand against you? I don't need to be the strongest. I don't need to be the wealthiest. I don't need to have stuff. I just need God, because we're horses,
amen,
and chariots and things fail. My God is everlasting,
yes,
to everlasting. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. It started with him, and it will not end until he says it's done. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's God and God alone. I don't have to be afraid of the might of men, and that fails before God. If I love God and I serve God, I don't have to be worried about God's sovereignty, because my God stands before me. My God protects me. I was listening to Dr. Tony Evans this week, and he was talking about the names of God, and he talked about El Shaddai. He said, we worry all the time, and I'm a worrier. I'll worry about everything. I always jump to the furthest, terrible conclusion possible. And then when that doesn't happen, I feel better. So he said, I don't know why you worry. He said, because of God, who started with nothing and made something, that means you don't have to see it happening. You don't have to see the resources. You don't have to see the power. You don't have to see what's existing to know that God is working in the spiritual realm.
Amen.
That God is working at what you cannot see. And that with a simple spoken word, He can change the future. He can guide your path. I don't have to see it. I don't have to know it. I just got to know the one who can.